You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. This is an update for the US Open ahead of round three getting underway. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me on the line is former European Tour pro Jamie Spence. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm very well, Mark. Just watched the Lions beat the Maori All Blacks this morning. So it's a Saturday full of sport. So I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Yeah, I'll be glued on the couch, I'm afraid.
Have you had much sleep then? Did you stay up for the golf and then almost bat all the way through?
I went a bit early and caught up with a few highlights this morning and then obviously watched the rugby. So, yeah, it's fortunately got the weekend off, so I can watch all the golf and the cricket and the racing and everything. It's going to be a great sporting weekend.
It is a great sporting weekend indeed. One of the highlights, of course, being the US Open. We'll just have a little bit of a chat about the course itself, Erin Hills, before we get stuck into the players and the markets and such. What do you make of it? Because I think it was Rory McIlroy who said that any player that can't hit these fairways is not worth their salt kind of idea. And he's one of the players that's fallen victim to the course. He missed the cut. The top three in the world, in fact, have all missed the cut, with Dustin Johnson and Jason Day also not making it to the third day. What do you make of the course? It looks quite tricky out there at times.
He should have kept quiet, Rory, didn't he? But the thing is with Rory, he's got a new set of clubs. He hasn't played any golf in the past 6 weeks. I mean, can you imagine Andy Murray turning up to Wimbledon having not played for 6 weeks, and we talk about him winning it? It's a nonsense, really. I said this earlier in the week that as good a player he is, you can't go into a big tournament like this and expect to do well. You really can't, having not played. I mean, 8 out of the top 12 in the world ranking have missed the cut. Justin Rose, Stenson, Adam Scott, Bubba Watson, John Rahm's missed the cut. Alex Noren. It's incredible. Plus a load of good European players as well. Thomas Peters, Ross Fisher, who I thought would do well here. Francesco Molinari. You know, it's been golfing carnage out there on this golf course. And then the leaderboard. I don't know how you pick a winner out of this leaderboard. I really don't. Your odds compilers have got a tough task.
It's good that we got you on here then to find the winner.
I hope so.
it looks like such a vast open expanse. And I was watching a bit of the coverage last night on Sky Sports, and they were talking about the fact that there's no focal point to try and aim at. There's no like thing to hone in on when you're trying to tee off and such. Is that a big problem? Obviously, you'll have had plenty of experience yourself. Do you try and find somewhere
problem,
to kind
Mark,
of...
Yeah. That is a problem, but there's. I've heard Rory say earlier in the week there was 14 blind tee shots, and there's only 5 trees on the golf course as well. You know, it's that barren out there. It's a good looking golf course, and I like it. It's a different type of US Open than we're used to, but it's over 652 acres. I think you could put about 4 normal golf courses into that. So you're right that the lines off the tees are not obvious, especially with the different winds that they're getting as well. So they're having to think about it. But the more you play it, the more you get used to the lines. And there's some pretty demanding pin positions, which you'd expect. And I think it's only going to get tougher. I cannot imagine the USGA won all these players under par. I think it's going to get much more difficult.
I think, is it something like only 8 shots between the top of the leaderboard and the players that missed the cut? That seems quite narrow, doesn't it?
It does. You get that in normal tour events. The field can be bunched, but normally in a major, there's a bigger spread than that. They used to have a 10-shot rule. If you within 10 shots, you'd automatically make the cut for the weekend. But in this instance, you'd have over 100 players. You just wouldn't fit them on the golf course, and that's happened before. So that's why they have a strict cut now. And I would have to say, anybody who's made the cut in score terms could win this. There's 32 players within 5 shots of the lead. So it's as wide open as it started for me. All the players at the top of the leaderboard have got questions to answer as far as I'm concerned, including Ricky Fowler, who's obviously by far the most experienced.
Right, OK, let's have a look at this top end of the leaderboard. Then we've got a 4-way tie at the top. Paul Casey and Tommy Fleetwood, a couple of English players at the top of the leaderboard there. Brooks Koepka and Brian Harman are in a 4-way tie at the top. As you mentioned there, Ricky Fowler, who was the overnight leader in round one, he's one of 3 players, a shot off the pace. In terms of the betting, Ricky Fowler still the favourite at 11-2. Brooks Koepka is 13-2 now, as is Paul Casey. 17-2, Hideki Matsuyama. Tommy Fleetwood 12-1. Brian Harman 14-1. 16-1, JB Holmes. And 20-1, Barvoz. How do you see it at the top end of the market then? Who do you like to go on to win the tournament?
Well, we've got Royal Ascot next week, the Britannia Handicap. That's over a mile straight at Ascot. But imagine that with about 60 runners, 10-1 the field. And that's what we're looking at here, because it's very, very difficult. Ricky Fowler did all right yesterday. He shot 73, so I'm not surprised you've got him favourite. And he is the most, you know, you look at Fowler, I'm looking further down. Spieth's at level. I think he's too far back. Sergio's at 3 under par, and he's kept his price that he was at the start of the tournament. You know, he was one of my picks along with Jason Day, who missed the cut, obviously. So I'm happy where Sergio is. Keimer's on the same score of 3 under. So you're looking for the experienced players. I mean, Brooks Koepka hits the ball a mile. But I think he's got short game deficiencies. Fleetwood's a top player. Casey's US Open record is poor. I've just had a look at it. I don't know much about Brian Harman. You'd have to think that one of the lesser American lights would fancy his chances. A Jamie Lovemark or a JB Holmes, Brendan Steele, Bill Haas, Charlie Hoffman. You know, take your pick, to be honest with you. It's that wide open. But if I'm looking at experienced players, I'm quite happy with my Sergio tip at 3 under par. Ricky Fowler should win a major at some point, but this is not going to be easy. There's so many people in it on a new golf course.
All right.
Did that help at all?
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's quite open, isn't it? It's quite tricky. Sergio 20-1 though, by the way. So he's not far off the top of the leaderboard and still a pretty tempting price there. I didn't see much of him yesterday, I must admit, but on the first day he looked very relaxed out there, Sergio, which is obviously because he's got that major duck off his back. He's playing quite well, isn't he?
Yeah, I tell you what, if I'm Sergio, I'm looking at all the players that have missed the cut, all those big names who are out. He hasn't got to beat those. He knows he's just got to keep his cool. He also knows that pars are prisoners on a golf course like this in the US Open. He knows he's going to get tougher. He's played plenty of US Opens before. So he'll be feeling really, really confident. If that putter just works normally, he'll be a tough man to beat, I think, Sergio. If he can stay within a couple, two or three of the league, going into Sunday, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, he's obviously got that experience when it comes down to the nitty gritty, which some of those that towards the top of the leaderboard won't have as well. You mentioned Paul Casey's record there. He's 13-2 in the market. He had a triple bogey on his card and still managed to stage a bit of a rally and end up still bang in there. Is that a good sign that he's had a wobble, but it hasn't affected him all that much?
It is and it isn't. Obviously, he's got a few bad shots in his game there. I mean, he's had one top 10 in 13 starts in the US Open. And, you know, he's been a good player for a number of years. But he had 5 birdies in a row in his 71 to get back to the top of the leaderboard. So he did great. But I don't know. He always seems to have a patch where he goes off and makes a few bogeys or a double. And that would concern me. But he's playing the golf of his life, you'd have to say, Paul Casey. So this might be a now or never scenario for him.
All right, let's tie down this up, this outright market then, before we move on to some two balls. You mentioned you're happy with Sergio Garcia. If you could add one to it before we move on to round three, who would you go with?
Well, I looked at Bill Haas, who's won the FedEx Cup before, but his open record again is awful. There's a player, you've got him at 33-1, I believe, who I really liked over the years. He's 33 years of age. He's an Australian, Mark Leishman. He runner-up in the 2015 Open at St Andrews. He won the Nedbank Challenge down in South Africa, which is a big, big event. He's a really, really good player. He was 18th last year, and he had a 77 on the Saturday last year, which really hurt him. So I think Mark Leishman at that price is a really good alternative to Sergio.
All right, couple on the shortlist then. Sergio Garcia at 20-1, Mark Leishman at 33-1 in the outright market. Let's have a look at some of the later three balls as well. Whilst right, we'll go through the last three. Ricky Fowler against Jamie Lovemark is the first we look at. 8-13 for Fowler, 15-2 for the tie, and 15-8 for Lovemark. Who do you side with in that three ball?
Well, don't underestimate Lovemark. He's a good young talent coming through the ranks. Hard to back him against Fowler, isn't it, on a Saturday of a US Open with the experience Ricky's got. But the pressure's all on Ricky and there's none on Lovemark. So for me, it's a toss it in the air, really, at those prices.
Could I tempt you with the tie then at 15-2?
You certainly could.
Yeah. Brooks Koepka against Tommy Fleetwood, 8-11 for Koepka, 15-2 the tie, and 13-8 Fleetwood.
Yeah, I like Tommy here. They know each other really well, these two. They played the Challenge Tour in Europe for quite a few years together, so they're good mates. And Tommy will really, really fancy this. I used to coach Tommy for a couple of years. I know him really well. So, and he'll love the wind. He loves this sort of golf course. It's where he can get his driver out. So it's Fleetwood for me.
And the final two-ball pairing, Brian Harman and Paul Casey, 13-8 for Harman, 15-2 the tie, and 8-11 for Casey. What do you like there?
I think I'll go with Harman on that. I think the steadier player, been in form this year, Harman. As I say, Casey tends to have a blip. I can see Casey shooting a 73, 74 today and coming back strong Sunday. So I'll go with Harman.
Okay, all kinds of value in there then. Tommy Fleetwood, the tie between Fowler and Lovemark and Brian Harman. That pays nearly 60-1, that treble. Any others that stand out to you? Any other two balls you want to mention?
Yeah, there is one. There's the leader of the web.com tour, young German, Stefan Jäger. He's playing against Jordan Spieth. 15:43 our time, and he's 130 to beat Spieth. Spieth's level par, and he'll be pressing today. He doesn't look on top form, Spieth. Jäger is on the form of his life. I think that's a cracking bet.
Yeah, nice price as well, 130. Tell you what, if you fancy a Yankee on the two balls or accumulator or whatever, the accumulator part of it, the fourth hole, pays 252. To one there for those four, which is...
Yeah, but Mark, I would never stick a tie in a Yankee, I've got to be honest.
Okay.
That's a bit dodgy.
If we take the tie out and go for a treble, so...
Yeah, that's more like it.
The three
yeah.
that you like, that pays 28-1, Fleetwood, Harman and Jäger there, so...
They're tough to call some of these. So I think playing with the bigger price is not a bad policy today.
Yeah, could be plenty of value in there. Looks a real tricky day, but it's going to be real intriguing. Good luck and enjoy it today, Jamie.
Oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great watch later tonight after all the other sport and the racing. So I'm really looking forward to it.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.